Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, January 28th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Dr. Herb Gannon. I look forward to you hearing him talk about his life and his faith after he reads for us today.
Good morning, Mary, and thank you for having me today. I'm honored to be here. The first reading today is a continuation of Genesis 24, and I will read from Genesis 24, 29 through 67. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. And it came about that when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, "I will not eat until I have told my business." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Suppose the woman does not follow me?' And he said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath.' So I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now thou wilt make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar," and she will say to me, "You drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I'll water your camels also." So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know, that I may turn to his right, to the right hand or the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." And it came about, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. And the servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterward she may go." And he said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her wishes." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. And she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now we're moving into the part from Psalms, and I'm going to be reading Psalm 49. "Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in days of adversity, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches? No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names, but a man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of those after them who approve their words. As sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. And their form shall be for Sheol to consume, so that they have no habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself. And though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, he is like the beasts that perish." Now we're moving into the New Testament in Mark chapter 12. I'll be reading 1 through 12. "And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press, and built a tower, and rented it out to the vine growers, and went on a journey. And at harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed, and so with many others, beating some and killing others. He had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the multitude, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. And so they left him and went away.
Thank you so much, Herb, for joining the podcast today. We really enjoyed hearing you read God's Word to us. I want you to tell us a little bit about your family.
My wife, Toy, and I have been wonderfully, more for me than her, I'm sure, married for almost 55 years. We have two children. Our oldest is a daughter. She lives in Pensacola, and they have four children. Our son lives here in Birmingham, and he has two children, so obviously we have six grandchildren. They are amazingly grown almost up before our eyes. All of them are driving now, but I just have to say one of my life prayers has been answered, which was to live long enough that my grandchildren will remember me. I have done that, and thankfully so. I'm also blessed that all of our children are believers, as are our grandchildren.
Tell me about your growing up years. Where did you grow up?
I was born and reared in Enterprise, Alabama, which is in southeast Alabama. It was a town in those days of about 15,000. I basically had an idyllic childhood, born with Christian parents who loved us and loved each other. I graduated from high school there. And then I'm an Alabama boy, educated in Alabama, went to the University of Alabama, and then went to medical school here at UAB.
Great. Did you meet Toy at Alabama?
We did meet in Alabama. She is from a smaller town in southeast Alabama, 10 miles below Dothan. I grew up 30 miles above Dothan, and we met at Alabama.
You mentioned going to medical school. Tell me about that experience and then what you ended up specializing in.
Well, I never thought about anything other than being a physician, as best I can remember. I think subtly looking back, my mother gently nudged me in that direction. I'm not sure what I would have done if I had not gotten in medical school. But as everybody knows, medical school is 4 years. Most people specialize. I chose to specialize in OBGYN. That was my first choice. My second choice was orthopedics. And probably because as medical students in those two fields, you got to do something instead of just watch others do it. We were allowed in those days to deliver a lot of babies as students with supervision, of course. Most of the time, and another reason I chose this, it's a happy field. Bad things do happen in obstetrics with stillbirths and mothers that get extremely sick. I do thank the Lord, rarely do they die. But the excitement of delivering never left me. There were some times at 3 a.m. it was not as fun as if it was at 9 a.m., but that's part of it, and I chose that myself.
And tell me a little bit about your career. Did you practice in Enterprise, or did your career take you different places?
Yes, I always wanted to go back home for some reason, and so when I finished here at UAB, we moved back to Enterprise. Actually, Toy probably wanted to stay in Birmingham, but I just wanted to go home. And so I was there 3 years, and then an opportunity in Dothan opened up, and we moved 30 miles to Dothan, and then we were there 35 years through my practice there. Thereafter, I chose to retire from that practice for various reasons, and then after about 6 months, a hospice opportunity opened up, and I worked as a hospice physician. The title was medical director. The home office was in Pensacola, and that's where our daughter lived. And so we had an opportunity to move there for 5 years and be with our grandchildren growing. And I will tell you that hospice was an outstanding experience for me. As I said in OBGYN, rarely did my patients die. I learned so much about death and dying, and the patients that I had in hospice were indescribably wonderful. The vast majority of those were not afraid to die. I was able to witness to some of those. I was careful in how I did that. But I learned so much about death and dying and how I want to be when my time comes, if I have a choice. And I loved my hospice years as much as I loved my OBGYN years. And then 5 years ago at 70, I decided that was enough. And then we moved to Birmingham to be with our children up here. And here I am.
Wonderful. That leads me to the next question. How did you get connected with Mountain Brook Baptist?
Actually, we were members here when I was in residency, those 4 years of residency. We were here about 2 to 3 years. Our children went to preschool here. And then when we decided to move back to Birmingham, our pastor in Pensacola was friends with the former pastor here, Doug Dorch, and he said, you should visit Mountain Brook Baptist. And so we visited probably 4 or 5 churches before coming here. And as you know, we say the Apostles' Creed every week. And Tori grew up in a Methodist church saying that. And when we said the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer, as we do every Sunday also, when we left, she said, I don't know which church you're going to, but that's where I'm going. So, as you know, we've been here almost 5 years now, and we have a wonderful new senior pastor. Aww. And we're thrilled.
I want to know a little bit about your hobbies and interests. What are you into?
I'm just this side of being a total sports nut. I participate in sports growing up. I watch and read about sports. I keep up with sports. I read a lot. I play golf as an activity. I'm not very good, but it is fun to think that the next shot's going to be a good one. Tori and I play bridge. Interestingly, we learned back in medical school, got away from it, but once we got up here and had time, she started back first, and then I thought it was something we could do together. So we've been playing together with a couple friends, and during COVID, we played online, which was interesting and neat. Back to my reading, I read usually several books at the same time. I try to read a fiction book, which I don't read as much anymore. I read more nonfiction now. I try to read a Christian or theological book. Keep one of those going most of the time. So that's basically what I do.
Is there a book that you've read recently that you would commend to us?
Well, I will tell you, my favorite Christian author is Philip Yancey. I first came about him back in the early 80s. I was in a Christian bookstore in Dothan, just looking for something, and saw a book entitled Disappointment with God. And I thought to myself, how could someone write a book and entitle it that? So I bought it, and that's the first book of his I ever read. I did not know him. And basically, it is a Christian look at why bad things happen to good people. And Philip asked tough questions to and about God that all of us wonder about sometime. But back in the 80s, you didn't verbalize those very much. And he taught me that there's not a question God can't handle, and there's not a question that he minds you asking him. And so I read every one of his books from then, and his most recent book is a memoir that came out 2 or 3 months ago, and so that's the book.
Herb, I want to know one thing about you that we might not know.
One thing you sure don't know is when I was a senior in high school, we had Youth Week at our church, and I was asked to be the youth pastor, and I actually preached a sermon on Sunday night of Youth Week, and other buddies of mine in our youth group served other positions like chairman of the deacons and personnel committee, etc. Well, my best friend in life then and still now was a year behind me in high school. And the following year, he was asked to be the youth pastor, and he gave a sermon. But what is the other part of that story is they stopped that after those 2 years. And we always think that because the two of us did it, they knew that no one could match that ever. But we also wonder if those 2 years were so bad that they didn't want to repeat that.
I doubt that. Tell me about your faith. How did you come to faith in Christ, or would you describe it as a journey?
As I said earlier, I was born into a Christian family, been in church all my life. I've never known life outside of church life. I was one of those that were there every Sunday, and I made a public profession of faith after Bible school 1 year when I was probably 10 to 12 years old. I think that day I was truly saved, but I truly began, I think, a faith walk in my early 30s. What I heard as a teenager in sermons was, don't do this, don't do that, do this, and memorize John 3:16. And so my early years growing up and into early adulthood mostly were consumed by guilt because I couldn't do all of that. But when I got back to Enterprise, a gentleman named Frank Wells was our pastor. Doug Dorst knew him, and he preached about faith, forgiveness, and love, and grace. And that's the first time it had ever sunk into my brain that it's not about what you do or don't do. It's what you perceive in your heart that the Lord wants you to do by and through grace. And Tor and I and three other couples got together, and once a week we went through the New Testament. And it was then that I really read and listened and perceived what the New Testament was telling me to do and how to live as a follower of Jesus.
Is there a favorite scripture or hymn that you might share with us?
Well, probably my favorite scripture and one that has always stayed right between my eyes is Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, the age I am now, Mary, I look back on my life more than I look forward, and I have seen that scripture become true. The second scripture that I always think about is, to whom much is given, of him much is expected. And that also continues to hit me between the eyes.
Thank you, Herb, for joining the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I'll be happy to do that. Father God, as your scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We should pray this scripture every day, and the ways that we rejoice and be glad are serving you and living as your word and your son showed us how to live. We thank you for ministries such as this church. We pray for all Christians who love you, all people who need to know you, and we just thank you for another day to enjoy the blessings of life that you give us. And we lift up and pray these things in the holy name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen.